I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Just a little after 2 o'clock. Talked about Jay Hill earlier in the show. He came on with us, well, with you, last week. Had some really interesting comments about where that team is at and where they're working towards. And the complexities of trying to install a new defense there at BYU and what it's like to try to put that together.
Yeah, I would say it's one of the more complicated ones in college football. We do a lot of different things. You know, we'll play man, cover three. We zone pressure with, you know, two high safeties, zone pressure with one high safety. We got a drop eight package. We got a lot of man pressure, zone pressures, like I said. I mean, it's just there's a lot of things that we do, and it's really hard on the linebackers and the safeties as far as learning goes. And then, you know, for the D-line and corners, there's not quite as much learning, but there's a lot of technique and skill that obviously has to go into those positions where those guys have a lot to learn. So, anyway, bottom line, it's new for these defensive players, the amount of learning that they have. And, you know, it's up to them to get it down, and then it's up to the coaches to do a good job of teaching it.
Says it's the most difficult or one of the most difficult in the country defenses to implement. And it puts a lot of the pressure on the safeties and linebackers. The good news is I think you've got a couple of really good safeties. I think that Micah Harper is going to be special. I think Malik Moore is solid. I think that you've got probably three or four guys deep. You're going to take a look at Raider DeMooney and see how ready he is, because he was a very nice recruit for BYU. So your safeties are okay. Linebackers, you're losing a lot of linebackers, as we know, Scotty. But still, you got Ben Bywater, who's going to be out there, and you got Max Tooley. They're not currently out there, but they'll be back in fall.
Both
of them right now are sitting out, and you're getting a really heavy linebacker rotation right now through spring, trying to get some other guys some looks. But, and you've moved a couple of guys back to linebacker. You took some weight off Fisher Jackson, and I know Fisher has kind of worked both at times, but you're looking for answers at the linebacker position. But you know, having covered Kyle Whittingham's defense for so long, mm-hmm. It comes down to how good is your play caller at the linebacker position and how capable is your strong safety. If you have those very intelligent, highly intelligent players, then you can have a defensive end that just knows good technique and can rush. You can have corners that just know good press techniques and can sit in their different coverages and really press. You got safety and linebackers that are organizing the play. So I try to walk through how much I trust those safeties and those linebackers, those couple safeties and those couple linebackers I mentioned. I trust them. I just don't know if I trust them enough in this defense. Fall camp will tell us a lot. But what was really interesting, Scotty, is when I got into it with Jay, I started asking Jay, do you got the dogs? So as you've gotten kind of a feel for the athleticism of the crew, were you, was it about what you expected when you took over this roster, just the overall size, speed, and strength of the talent that you're taking over? Is it kind of what you'd hoped and expected?
No, because my expectations for BYU football and BYU defense are, I expect to see some big, athletic, physical horses up front. And I'm not sure that we have the number, the sheer number of guys in that boat that, you know, I thought we would have. But that comes through recruiting. That comes through development. That just, that's something that we want to continue to do a good job of. I think back of the days like when you played Hans, and you had you and the Byron Frisches and Rob Morrises, and, you know, Justin Anna was just a puppy in that defense. But the sheer size and strength, the Chris Hoke, those guys, like, we've got to get back to that point where we're just physically big and strong and dominating.
Not overly encouraging.
That hesitation there.
Can you isolate that? Can you just kind of play that again?
Just that first question and then the first part of the answer.
Kind of what you'd hoped and expected? So this is the good news, Scotty. Jay Hill is very honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He's not pulling punches. He's very honest, and I know he's honest with his players. And all I ever expected from a coach was just be honest with me. If I'm screwing around too much and I'm not getting the job done, then say, you're going to lose your position. You're going to lose your start. You're going to lose your play time. That was the one thing I was interested in. You tell me I'm going to lose my play time, and you tell me I'm not big enough, I'm not fast enough, and that I better get to work, then I better get to work. If I don't feel like I've got it in me, then you know, then I guess we move on down the line. But Jay Hill is very honest. And don't think that the guys that he's currently working with don't know his expectations.
Yeah.
They know exactly what he expects. And there's some guys that just can't add the height. There's some guys that are on that defensive front that are 6 foot. Can't add the height. Okay, then what do you bring to me? What do you bring to the team? Do you have an explosive first step? Can you hit penetration? Can you gap spark? Are you extremely fast laterally? Can I move you in twists, stunts? Are you really smart? Are you a setup artist? Do you know how to press a guard multiple times to get him to do exactly what you want him to do when it's a 3rd and 3? And you need to get that certain press or that certain movement. How smart are you? Because you're going to have to bring some real talent for Jay to keep you on the field. Jay's dogging out. I'm telling you right now, BYU and their recruiting is changing dramatically. It's changing dramatically. So we'll see where it takes them.
Yeah. I think there's two things here you look at is what do you see this year and what do you see 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Because I know the transfer portal can accelerate things a little quicker than usual, but it's still BYU and it's still not everybody is a BYU candidate. I mean, there's going to be some guys that are going to look at BYU and say, nah, I'm going to pass, you know, even though the NIL money could be competitive and everything else. I mean, it's a bit of a hard sell for some kids, and that's totally understandable, and that's fine. And so I think there's two questions that people are going to ask about a Jay Hill-led defense at BYU is, what does it look like in 2023, and what will it look like in 2025-26? And I think those could be two different things. It's okay to have a bit of a learning curve with this defense. It's a new scheme. It's, you know, the drop eights in the rearview mirror. There's a lot of things that BYU will be doing very differently. And I think it'll also be very aggressive. But also with that aggressiveness, sometimes, you know, we talked about Kalani Sitake the year that at the University of Utah where they led the nation in sacks. I believe they were also top five worst teams in college football in giving up plays over 20 yards. They gave up some explosives that year because they were getting after the quarterback. And if you don't hit, sometimes you got guys wide open in the backfield. And so you might see a little bit of that this year. You might see the sacks go up and the aggression go up. I love the BYU defensive backfield this year. I think they are loaded. I think, as you said earlier, I think they are as good in that defensive backfield as they've ever been. But I think that if you are super aggressive with your front seven, sometimes those guys are on an island, you'll give up some plays.
Here's Jay talking about his level of aggression, Scotty.
Well, I think you've got to be aggressive. I don't like sitting back on my heels and letting the opponent dictate to me everything that's going to occur. But at the same point, we're not going to be dumb. We're not just going to blitz every snap and leave the corners on an island every single snap. I mean, that's not aggression. That's stupidity. And so there's a fine line. It comes back to, we got to do a good job of confusing quarterbacks and giving them enough looks that they don't hone in on exactly what we're trying to get done. So will we still drop eight? Absolutely. Will you see four-man pass rush? Absolutely. Will you see five- and six-man pressures? Yes, but we're not going to blitz every snap. That's dumb. It's the ability to do multiple things and do multiple things well that I think is going to be what I consider aggressive.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait, what did he say right there at the back end? What I consider to be aggressive? That last thing at the very back end of that said, we're going
in on exactly what we're trying to get done. So will we still drop eight? Absolutely. Will you see four-man pass rush? Absolutely. Will you see five- and six-man pressures? Yes, but we're not going to blitz every snap. That's dumb. It's the ability to do multiple things and do multiple things well that I think is going to be what I consider aggressive.
Do multiple things.
And multiple things well. And that's, you know, because honestly, the drop eight can be very effective at times, right? You're blitzing, and they think, hey, you know what? This is 9 times out of 10, they blitz in this third and whatever, and you drop eight, and that quarterback's looking to hit that slant because he's expecting that outside linebacker to come strong, and all of a sudden you drop out, and you have a DN sitting there, and it's an interception because he's right there in that route. Because that quarterback, like, I think that what he's saying should be applauded by every BYU fan out there. Be great at a lot of things. Be aggressive, sure. Get after the quarterback. But also, let's be smart in how we address things.
When you see Morgan Scalley turn up the aggression, it is a visible aggression. Even if you have an untrained eye watching the game, you're watching Morgan Scalley and you see Morgan turn up the aggression, you can see it with an untrained eye. You know, whoa, there was a lot more guys at the line and there was a lot of movement and there were pre-snap shifts. There were linebackers that were twisting and crossing each other, going to the opposite ends of the ends, coming around as the ends plunged in. Like, you can see it. That's what you're hoping for from Jay and this defense at times. That when he wants to turn it up, he can turn it up. That he's got the personnel that he trusts that he can really turn it up. That's what my hope for this defense.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, the most consistent, the most reliable things you've got to have in order to do that are corners, I think. Yeah, you got to have the personnel that can turn it up and has the speed to hit the different slants, hard stunts. You got to have the speed from your linebackers to get from a 4-yard depth to get to the quarterback in the snap of a finger, or a safety that understands his depth on a walked-up safety blitz. You've got to have that, but I think what you've got to have is corners that you can trust.
Yeah, good point. I do look at look, you know the game far better than I do, but I also think, to a certain extent, football can be a pretty simple game, where in reality, your goal on defense is, you know, up against a passing attack is make the quarterback feel confused and feel anxious. And if you can do those two things, it doesn't matter how you get there, but if you can confuse him and if you can make him uncomfortable, those are the two things. If you can do that to a quarterback, whether it be a drop eight or whether it be a cover zero and you're bringing the house, that's what Jay Hill wants to do. And there's multiple ways you can skin that cat. And I think he's going to try to address all of those.
I do think it's going to be an unpredictable defense, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like Ed Lamb's defense was too predictable.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I've talked to too many coaches that game planned around it. Now, working against it can be different. I mean, you can know what the other team's going to do and still not be able to do it. And to a certain extent, he had some successes.
They did that at times.
And, you know, if you're just great sound, and I think Ed Lamb was good with that, saying, like, look, we know what we're going to do, and you're still not going to go 12 plays and 80 yards and score a touchdown. We feel like you're going to go 6 plays and maybe 50 yards, and we'll give up a field goal, and we're fine with that.
Yeah. Or you'll go 10 plays and you'll make a mistake.
Exactly.
And we'll take advantage of the mistake.
Yeah. But you're right. It didn't feel like there was a ton of creativity and a ton of like, ooh, what are they going to do on this play? What are they going to do on this? What are they going to bring here? There wasn't a lot of that.
I think Jay is going to bring the element of surprise. But as I talk about Vic Fangio often, because Vic just got another defensive coordinating job in the league.
I think he's the highest paid defensive coordinator in the league with the Dolphins.
So Vic Fangio's defense, the first defense I learned when I went into the NFL, if you don't have the right personnel, it doesn't matter how ingenuitive or how creative you get. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you don't got the right personnel, it doesn't matter. Jay could put in the world's best defense, and he could be the best defense of mine, but if he doesn't have corners that can truly press and safeties that have aggression and anger at the point of attack, it doesn't matter. And I know he has a lot of faith in the talent that's there. I know he believes it, but you could hear in his answer, it's like, give me a minute. The other thing that's tough, being a coordinator that comes in and takes over defense at BYU, for a couple of years, you're going to be waiting on other guys to come back from missions.
Yeah.
And you're evaluating, you're saying, okay, so how many scholarships do we have on a mission right now? 7 defensively. So I've got 7 defensive scholarships that are going to be coming back next year. Yeah.
Can't use those unless you find a one and done.
Yeah. So he's going to be dealing with some talent. And I do think, personally, I think there's some really good talent out of missions.
Yeah.
I mentioned John Henry Daly.
Yeah, the lumpy kid, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cannot wait for him to get back. Chris Hoke's son, Nate Hoke, he'll be coming back off a mission. In fact, he'll be back for fall camp this year. So he'll be a linebacker that Jay is going to have to take a look at. I don't know if he can shake mission legs off that fast, but Chris Hoke did. He came back from mission, was really good, really quick.
You know where he's at?
Weight-wise?
No, location-wise. Because a lot of times that has a lot to do with it in terms of how ready you're able to get back. I mean, no offense, if you're in a third world country somewhere, not eating well, it can be difficult to come back.
I mean, it's
not a big deal, but if you're, you know, if you're in, Boise, you're probably going to be okay. You're eating good meals every night and life's pretty good. So.
Yeah, he's in Argentina.
That's some good meals down in Argentina.
Sure.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, teppanyaki. It's great, I'm sure, there. It's got to be like, you know, let's get some teppanyaki.
Go all the way to Argentina for teppanyaki. But
I think he actually may have gotten some blowback for it, but Petros Papadakis said, yeah, he grew up with a lot of Mormon kids. He goes, a lot of Mormon football players, and the really good ones, they all got sent stateside. The ones that weren't very good, they got sent all over the world.
That is such a broad statement. That is such a guess.
And now it's not true. But.
Yeah, that is such a guess. Jay's got some talent coming back. Oh, I do believe that they are giving Jay some real leeway in the transfer portal to find some defensive personnel. I think they've got a few scholarships, not a ton, but they've got a few scholarships that they're going to be able to offer between spring ball and fall camp and bring in more talent defensively.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.